Okay, see you on the radio. Don't be late. Enjoy the hot.
Four friends who join the army together can live, work, and see Europe together. We'll guarantee it.
Be all that you can be.
See your army recruiter today.
Because we need you in the army.
Paid for by the U.S. Army.
Hello, sir.
They're getting closer.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. A complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts. The next show will start in 2 minutes.
Just a minute, folks. Yes, that's all it takes to visit our refreshment counter in the lobby. There you'll find popcorn and an assortment of popular candy bars to please every taste. Try one of these delicious candy bars. Big Time, Butternut, Milkshake, Payday. topped with Hollywood's super rich coating of the kind you like best. They taste wonderful. They're delicious. They're nutritious. Get one at our confection counter in the lobby now. The next show will start in 1 minute.
You're listening to a new radio show called Watch This on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. Thank you for listening, and thank you for a lifetime of watching. After 10 years of doing my music show, Time Travel, I was thinking what to do next. Earlier this year, I looked over my Blu-ray collection, my DVDs, my Laserdisc, my videotapes, and I had a revelation that since I have just as many movies as I do music, why not do a new show and do it with a rotating panel of friends and family? So over the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about movies. And my guest today is Lisa Nichols, friend to WMFO. And she's been on Time Travel before in The Big Picture. And she picked her five flicks for today. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very well. Welcome to the show, everybody. Oh, it's Watch This. And we're going to start out with Lisa's very first movie. Here we go.
Mr. Madison will go first. Mr. Gordon, choose the topic. English literature, U.S. presidents, My Wife the Tramp, Burning Dog Poo and the Human Response, Reflections of Society in Literature.
Reflections of Society in Literature.
Good luck, Schmuck.
Mr. Madison. The Industrial Revolution changed the face of the modern novel forever. Discuss, citing specific examples.
Come on, Billy!
The Industrial Revolution, to me, is just like a story I know called The Puppy Who Lost His Way. The world was changing, and the puppy was getting bigger. So you see, the puppy was like industry, in that they were both lost in the woods. And nobody, especially the little boy, society, knew where to find them. Except that the puppy was a dog. But the industry, my friends, that was a revolution. Nip-high football rules!
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but...
Fortune. But for 27-year-old Billy Madison, there's just one problem.
How could I hand over my company to someone who couldn't even get through school?
That's nice.
Billy is not an idiot.
Give me one more chance. I'll prove I can take over. First grade through 12th grade, all over again. And then I get to take over Madison Hotels.
You're on.
I want you all to meet Billy.
Don't you think it's a little pathetic that just because of who your father is, you get to come to school all over again?
Yes, I do.
I think he's retarded or something.
Good morning, class. So let's all open up our reading is fun books to page 69.
Where's Billy?
He's in school, man.
So what's it like? Back in school.
I don't know. I kind of feel like an idiot sometimes. Although I am an idiot, so it kind of works out.
Universal Pictures presents
Norman Invasion of England.
1066.
That is correct.
Adam Sandler.
I am the smartest man alive!
Spanish Armada.
1466. 67.
Billy Madison.
1469. 1514. 1981.
God, give me the answer!
All right, first movie is Billy Madison. It's from 1995. Of course, it's a comedy. The director is Tamra Davis, who was actually married to one of the Beastie Boys. She was married to Mike Diamond for quite a while. It stars Adam Sandler, Bridgette Wilson, Darren McGavin, Bradley Whitford, Norm Macdonald, and James Downey, who plays the principal at the end. We heard the clip at the very beginning. The plot is, in order to inherit his fed-up father's hotel empire, an immature and lazy man must repeat grades 1 to 12 all over again. It was done by Universal Pictures, rated PG-13, and the runtime is an hour and 29 minutes, like every good comedy movie, right around 90 minutes. And the soundtrack's mostly in 80s rock, featuring the film, such as this one in the background. There was Culture Club, Jackson 5, The Cars, Billy Squire, Electric Light Orchestra, and Renegade by Styx. Budget and box office, it cost $10 million to make, and it made $26.4 million, putting Adam Sandler on the map as a movie star. It debuted at number one, and it opened up to mostly negative reviews. Most people called it kind of just dumb and idiotic, but it is a, if you put your brain at the door, it's a very, very funny movie. It's got an IMDb score of 6.4 out of 10. And Lisa Nichols is here, and she picked this. Billy Madison from 1995.
Am I dumb and idiotic for liking it?
It is. No, you are not at all. This is a great, great movie. It is very, very funny.
All right. If somebody said, what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie? Mm-hmm. This would be it. Just because I believe this is when he was at the height of his comedy. And you have that big chunk of movies that he did. You know, Happy Gilmore and so on. But Billy Madison really stood out for me because I guess, idiotic and stupid. It's one of those movies that you really don't have to think about.
But the thing is he knew exactly what he was doing. Him and his writer and Jim Downey in the background, that one scene we played at the beginning, the clip, where he basically says, we are now all dumber for you saying that. It's like they know
that
this movie's dumb. It's great.
Scenes from this movie, and it speaks so highly to some of the people that I meet and I listen to, and I'm like, I think I lost some brain cells just listening to you. But also, I have used the Billy Madison theory where you can just talk and talk in circles, and then maybe you sort of sound right.
Right.
And if you believe it in your mind, maybe everybody else will too.
Yeah.
But there's so many great parts of this movie.
There is in the background there, the Ramones, that's during the dodgeball scene, and he actually asked all the kids, the director and Sandler asked the kids if they wanted to be hit by a dodgeball. And a number of them, of course, said yes, because they wanted to be. Of course, the parents are all going to say yes. Oh, yeah, hit our kid with a dodgeball so he gets more screen time, or she gets more screen time. But the kids, some of them got hit so hard, they started crying.
At the minimum, I hope they got their SAG card for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's your parting gift. Yeah, that's all you got.
Absolutely. So the editor actually had to cut away very quickly after each hit, so it didn't show some of the kids that were actually crying. One of the other things, Charles Bronson actually turned down the role of Billy Madison's father, and the great Darren McGavin, who people would recognize from A Christmas Story, plays the hotel.
So funny.
The guy that owns all the hotels, the Madison hotels.
And you mentioned Norm Macdonald's in this, and he's plays one of Adam Sandler's Billy Madison's friends in it.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you talk about this guy that really lived off of his father's riches, did nothing with his life, and he just got his buddies hanging around by the pool.
Right.
Actually, in some of the scenes, he was actually drunk.
Yes.
Norm Macdonald is drunk. A true method actor.
That's true.
I guess you could say.
I watched some of the deleted scenes of this, some pretty funny stuff in there, too. And Norm Macdonald, I always love. And I think this movie, I think, is probably one of his funniest. And what I love about this is Billy's friends are all like 10 years older than him. So Billy's like 27, and these two guys, it's just like you accept it. They're like in their late 30s, and they're just hanging around getting drunk and talking about girls all day by the pool because they have this rich friend, so they're over the house and sleeping over. And
you know, and it's not completely all stupidity, and there's some moments where, you know, there's when he, the little kid, has an accident.
Right,
and he pees his pants, and he helps him through that and say, you know, it's actually cool to do it. So it's heartwarming.
Yes.
There are some of those moments. It's true coming of age.
Well, in the background, there is the theme of education actually helps people.
Right.
And Billy realizes that at the end. And, of course, he chooses to go to college and become a teacher at the very end.
Yep.
And that kid, actually, who has the accident, he is, I believe he's his son in Big Daddy, or he shows up in Big Daddy, too.
Yep.
So that kid shows up a few years later in Big Daddy.
It's just a fun movie. It's hilarious. I love it.
This made me wish. What I like to hear about Adam Sandler, too, is he helps all of his friends out that were, like, you know, in acting and the comedy world and stuff. So you see a lot of the same people. Curiously, one of the people missing from Billy Madison is Rob Schneider, who basically says, you can do this.
Right.
Almost in every one of his movies.
Was
you can do it.
Artie Lang in it, too? Didn't he play one of his friends?
No, the guy he looks very similar to him, but it's not Artie Lang. I forget what his name is off there. I think that may be Bradley Whitford.
Okay.
I think that's who that is. So one of the things
about perfect acting actors being placed in those roles, whether it was his choosing or the casting, but, you know, they just fit really, really well.
Yeah, I guess he had a little more leeway after this movie was made to be able to get more and more people in there, but he helped out a few people in this one as well. I guess he was supposed to get a couple more people from SNL in there. And of course, Chris Farley shows up in it, and he's fantastic as the bus driver. Yeah. He's just fantastic.
But, you know, even like the scene when he's in the bathtub and he's fighting, and it's so childish with shampoo and conditioner. And it's just one of those things that sticks in your mind. I mean, even, you know, when I started beer blogging, you know, a couple years ago, I did a picture like that in the tub with bubbles and two different beers because it's such an iconic scene. And I had a can in one and a bottle in another. And I'm like, you know, I'm invoking the Billy Madison spirit.
Right, right.
But it's, yeah, you have those scenes in your head. Same thing with the family that Billy Madison hated and the bullies throughout the... And not that you wanted to see a family go over a cliff the end of the movie, but it was kind of like,
Those are the O'Doyles.
Yes.
The O'Doyle rules. So in every single one of these grades that he's in, there's another O'Doyle. Yep. So it's like a huge O'Doyle family of brothers, and they all beat up on him pretty much all through the movie. And then finally they get their comeuppance from Billy at the end. But what's interesting is the O'Doyles come back, and the clown who is actually like hurt really bad comes back. So it's like there's some vicious stuff that happens, but then they're all fine, you know? And it's just like, it's one of those movies where it's like there's a nod and a wink, and I think it was unfairly reviewed. And like a lot of comedies, you know, especially a lot of really silly comedies, I put it on a level of something like a Dumb and Dumber, you know. Dumb and Dumber, it's just like throw your mind out and it's like enjoy yourself. And some movies you have to enjoy yourself, you know, and this is one of them. It's a really fun movie.
Yeah, because I feel like so many times either on this show or when we would do the Oscar show with the big picture, there were so many movies, it was like a really in-depth conversation because it was such a complicated movie, generally those larger ones.
Right.
And these are nice to kind of just fill that void of, you know, non-thinking. Just pop it in at night and enjoy it.
Well, what I love, too, is your five flicks today. You picked...
so across the board.
Yeah, they are all across the board. There's a couple of award winners. There's a couple of, you know, like, in a couple of... pretty much, you had three comedies on here. One's kind of a comedy drama, and then two dramas. But, yeah, you got kind of a little eclectic run of stuff today. And it was fun finding some of the music for this, too.
If you looked at my DVD and Blu-ray collection, you'd be like, what? It balances from gangster movies to horror to a very minimal chick flicks, as people would say. I don't know, just not my thing.
By the way, I must mention today, we do have a quiz. I always do the alpha genre movie quiz, and today it is the romantic comedy. So I'm going to quiz you a little bit later after we discuss your five flicks on 12 romantic comedies you should see, and I will give you 12 questions based on that. And you will win possibly a DVD today if you get seven or more right. And the DVD today is Tomorrowland. Have you seen Tomorrowland?
I have not.
You will like it. So hopefully you win that DVD as we go on a little later on into the show. So the other things I must mention here for some trivia. So unlike Billy, Adam Sandler actually went to college, and at NYU he studied method acting at the Lee Strasberg Institute, which is pretty amazing because, I mean, that's the place where, like, you know, Kevin Spacey and, like...
The highest of highest.
Yeah. It's like Olivier and, like, all these people came from this institute.
Which is kind of ironic,
you know?
And hilarious at the same time that, you know, his first... really big blockbusters or these type of films where one would think that you don't need too much method acting, especially from NYU at what, probably $55,000 a year.
Yes. The other thing is
who knew you could just get drunk and act?
I know.
And it works
great.
Just as well.
What's great is too, so here we are 23 years later, and Adam Sandler has made countless movies now, and he's got an exclusive deal with Netflix. I think it was like $10 million for like five or six movies or something like that. So he's basically getting to do whatever he wants, and it's going to be shown on Netflix, which is pretty nice. You know, that comes as close as you get from being an auteur of cinema.
Hey, you know what? Yep. You got to start somewhere.
Yes, that's right. One other thing about this, too, is Sandler's mom was a nursery school teacher, and she claims that this is her favorite movie of his, and it's as close as Adam Sandler as he's ever gotten. He says he's pretty much like this guy, Billy. So it's kind of funny.
It's so awesome. I just think about how cool that actually would be if you had... parents that were rich enough to throw you a massive party
yes.
every time you graduated
mm-hmm.
every year of school. Because, I mean, some of these kids at the party were getting Rolexes.
Yes.
As, you know, in the pinata. I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, the other thing, too, I was watching the director's commentary. I rewatched this week, and they have, like, jet skis going around, like, a fountain. And the fountain's only, like, 5 feet mm-hmm. around with, like, a statue in it. And she's like, this probably wasn't a great idea because, yeah. like, a couple people got hit.
I'm no marine expert, but yeah, I would probably say that's unsafe.
The principal of the school is actually played by Zero Mostel's son, who was the guy that was in The Producers years ago with Gene Wilder. And one of the other cameos in here, which is a fantastic cameo, and it pretty much kickstarted a comedy career for him, was Steve Buscemi, who shows up as the guy that is from high school that picked on him, so Billy picked on him. He decides to call him up out of the blue and say sorry. And later on, of course,
which
Steve Buscemi comes out and helps him out.
Even one of those scenes that is so small when he it cuts to the split screen of them on the phone.
Yeah.
And then cuts back to Steve Buscemi, and he's just putting on lipstick.
Right.
And just, like, talking quietly.
Right.
It's one of those moments where you're like, that was so weird.
Yes.
But it works.
But what's great about it, too, is, like, for all the silliness there, it's one of the things you learn in script writing is you always have to move the story forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no throwaway scenes in Billy Madison. There's actually scenes that are pushing the story forward, like, all the time. You know, it does have that underlying current of education is good, too. So
it is a kind of fun movie. It's the same thing with the adding of the principal being a former wrestler.
Exactly.
This may or may not purposely squashed somebody and took their life.
Yes.
But then he comes back at the end in the outfit and takes down.
Yes, it's a pretty brilliant ending when you look at it. It's like the script is building up on all the, and there's quite a few characters in it. And they only have very short scenes, but what they actually do with them kind of culminates up to a pretty good ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put everybody in there at the end in the final scene. But let's move on to the next movie. It's coming to America from 1988. I'm going to play one last clip from Billy Madison for you. Be back here in a moment. It is Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Mass. And my guest today is Lisa Nichols.
Go back to school and achieve victory. No man will take what my father has built unless that man is me.
My Billy, sweet Billy boy, I knew you would go back. No one can stop you if you try. Don't I have a nice rack?
Thank you for beating the shit out of me. I see things so clearly now. I choose my destiny.
Oh, Billy, I knew you had it in ya.
We're here to help you, Billy. Get back in school to stay. You gotta work real hard and stick it out till graduation day.
Hey, kids, it's me. I bet you thought that I was dead. But when I fell over, I just broke my leg and got a hemorrhage in my head.
There are obstacles in the way, but together we shall overcome. Cause you can't break a spirit and you can't kill a dream. Do you have any more gum? More gum, more gum, more gum.
Do you have any more gum?
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watts. Yes! Randy Watson!
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes! Randy Watson!
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
And Reverend Brown. 2 years for the Reverend. This man's been my Reverend since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. You're a very special man. Reverend Brown. Reverend Brown. It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful audience. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely. And while you're in the clapping mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree? I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join the show?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is inside of me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God damn, that boy can sing.
You must be crazy.
He good.
You must be crazy.
Put your hands together for Mr. Randy Watson. Yeah, one more time. Randy Watson, how about it?
Attended by devoted servants.
Do you think perhaps just once I might use the bathroom by myself?
Most amusing, sir.
Wipers!
And engaged by royal decree.
Why? Why can't I find my own wife?
We've gone to a great deal of trouble to select for you a very fine wife.
I want a woman that's going to arouse my intellect as well as my loins.
Where will you find such a woman?
In America.
So he traveled across the sea to the land of opportunity, which is where the fairy tale ends and our story begins.
Behold, Simi, life, real life,
and sing that we have been denied for far too long.
We're in New York now. Let us dress as New Yorkers.
I feel like a complete idiot.
Have either of you ever had any fast food work experience before?
Certainly not.
This will be our first job in the United States. I am Akeem.
Nice to meet you, Akeem.
I have recently been placed in charge of garbage.
That's good to know.
Oh my goodness, it is you! Greetings, Your Highness.
Who was that?
Eddie Murphy.
Just the man I met in the restroom.
Arsenio Hall. In a comedy fable of royal romance.
When I look at these contestants for the Miss Black Awareness pageant, I feel good.
Apparently, these are the best women Queens has to offer. Pick one and let's go home.
I want to tear you apart. And your friend, too.
Coming to America.
Sir, I was wondering, did you happen to catch the professional football contest on television last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin to a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Son?
Yes.
You want to keep working here. Stay off the drugs.
Yes, sir.
All right. Lisa's Five Flicks, this is number two.
Playing all those clips again, and I've probably been at least a couple months since I've seen this. Movie's so great.
It is. It's very funny. One of the best comedies.
And it's so funny, like, how it starts off, and honestly, and I was just telling you this, this is one of the first movies, and it's a strange movie to remember, but this is one of the first movies as a kid that I remember watching.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of older aunts, so they were always over the house, and you know, and I probably watched movies I shouldn't have. This being one at, this came out in 88, so it's like three.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the beginning of it. And that's when I was like really into dancing. I'm like, oh, what is this? Because all the dancers come out. And then it gets into the movie. So you pick up much more as you get older and understand the references and sexual innuendos. But it's so great because even in one of the first scenes where he brings the woman that his family has set him up to marry into the room, and he's like, all right, you'll do whatever I want. Bark like a dog. And she's like, brum, brum.
Yeah.
Big dog. And it just shows you that, you know, this woman will do anything that he wants, and which is not what he wants. He goes into the room with Arsenio Hall's character.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, we're going to go. Spins it, hits Queens. And, you know, that was also one of the first times I think I really saw what New York was, or what I thought it was.
Yes, yeah. Which is late 80s New York, yeah.
Yeah.
What I love about it, too, is it's pretty much just also a story about somebody who's gotten really, really famous, who kind of wants to hide from everybody and just be liked for who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's kind of neat about this movie, too, because Eddie Murphy, so about this time, he's pretty much at his high point. You know, in the late 80s, he's already had a number of movies come out. He's done his SNL. And he's really one of the top people that's paid for this. So he can really do whatever he wants. And this movie came out in the late 80s again. It's rated R. It's an hour and 56 minutes. It was directed by John Landis, who had done a whole bunch of other, you know, great comedies in the past, too, including the Blues Brothers and some other SNL stuff. Arsenio Hall is probably just as good as Eddie Murphy. I was mentioning to Lisa off the mic here. Yeah, he's just fantastic in it. And the fact that they play so many different characters, it's just awesome. And it's like, I when we're listening to the trailer, I forgot Arsenio plays like the girl that's like, I want to get your friend, too, you know? It's like just this, you know, it's pretty much a transvestite, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
And then she takes the toothpick with the olive on it and just sticks it in her mouth and like rolls it around.
Yeah.
So great.
James Earl Jones is in it, who's fantastic. And John Amos, who was on Good Times for a number of years with J.J. Walker, he plays the guy that owns McDowell's. It's also like,
so
I love the McDowell's thing, too, because they're making fun of McDonald's, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they're actually, you know, it's a satire on McDonald's and how big they've gotten and how awful these jobs are. You know, these starting jobs, you know, working, you know, at the cash, basically being the janitor, then working at the cash. And then Louis Anderson shows up and he's like, maybe next week I'll be at the fryer later, you know? And it's like, I actually worked at McDonald's. I worked there for one day, and I saw so much there. I'm like, I do not want to come back here.
No, the best is when Eddie Murphy's character starts working at it, and he doesn't know that you have to take the mop out of the bucket, right. And he's just rolling it around on the floor, and he's looking, is like, take the mop out, and he's like, and he has that big smile that he gives throughout the entire movie. That's like, I totally got it.
Yeah, yeah. So in the plot of this movie, if you haven't gotten it already, it's an extremely pampered African prince. He travels to Queens, New York, and he goes undercover so he can find himself a bride whom he can respect for both her intelligence and will. It was done by Paramount Studios, who had a big contract with Eddie Murphy. Of course, they did Beverly Hills Cop with him, and I believe 48 Hours, and another early one there, Trading Places, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. Soundtrack was never released. The soundtrack was released on LP, cassette, and CD. Coming to America by The System, we just heard in the background. This is Better Late Than Never by The Cover Girls, and Come Into My Life by Laura Branigan and Joe Esposito, which I have coming up, were all released as singles from the album. The album actually did pretty well. And very, very 80s-centric music. A lot of that same type of beat and the lyrics and stuff in the background. Paramount just announced this week, and I don't know if you knew this or not, Lisa, they're actually doing a sequel called Coming to America with a 2 instead of the T-O.
Didn't know.
Yeah, they announced this in Vegas. And when I was researching a little bit more on this movie, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe it.
That's
awesome. This is 30 years later, so they're going to get Arsenio Hall. They're going to get Eddie Murphy. I'm not sure who else they're going to get there, but it's so on. Great. So Eddie Murphy's finally going to come back and play... one of his most beloved roles, if not his most beloved role, you know?
It's funny. When I was a kid, I used to, and this is so weird, the scene where Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall are going back and forth about, where he should just suck it up and marry the girl, and they're fighting with these long sticks. I used to take the broom from my grandmother's, closet and use it and pretend I was doing it. When I was injured,
it was
so
cool,
intrigued,
that's why.
Yeah. But I was flipping it around, and it was so awesome to me. They're so good. Even the scene when they first come in into the barbershop, and they're going back and forth.
Right.
And both of them play the different characters in it, and it shows, even from the character that owns the apartment building.
Yeah.
He's like, this is a real asshole. He's like, you don't want to live here, and there's a chalk outline on the floor. There's a rat. Chuck outline.
Yep.
And then they, Arsenio Hall's character, jazzes it up and uses some of the money, gets a hot tub in there. He's like, no, I gotta look poor.
Right, right.
So great.
The bola stick, I think that's what it was called. And it's kind of like having a lightsaber fight. And what's interesting is, like, Black Panther, they all use bola sticks in the new movie. So it's like, maybe they got that from Coming to America. Who knows? But so they announced that this week in Vegas. And what's interesting about this movie is after the initial press screenings in New York City, they actually got negative reactions, so they decided not to screen anymore for the press. And it went on to receive across-the-board positive reviews, including from almost every critic in New York, which is kind of odd. But it did really well. The film was the subject, of course, of a lawsuit that went on for years called Buchwald versus Paramount. It was a civil suit where a humorist named Art Buchwald filed in 1990 against the film's producers on the ground that he came up with the idea and he had a script treatment to show about it, and they settled it out of court. This is the very first time Eddie Murphy played multiple characters in the same film, which he started to do, of course, later on Nutty Professor and I think Norbit and a number of others. Which became a trademark of him, of his.
It just shows you how versatile he is.
Oh, yeah, he's great. And like, every character he plays in this one is awesome. Like, Randy Watson, he plays the Jewish guy in the barbershop
now,
that tells
that
the joke.
That is the actual, I think, OG mic drop.
Yes.
Where he's strong. And I think you could hear it pretty clear if you're listening in to the clip that you played when he's stomping on the ground. And he's like, Randy Watson.
Randy Watson, sexual chocolate.
And everybody in the audience is just like... slow clap. They mm-hmm. don't know what to do because it's just so shocking.
And what I love about it, I mentioned to Lisa off the mic while we were listening to that, it pretty much sums up like every stand-up comic who thinks they're fantastic too, like in an open mic, and they just go and do their thing and then just drop it, and there's one person that claps that's like their friend or family member that showed up. Mm-hmm. It's just brilliant. It just kind of sets up everything, whether you do stand-up comedy or whether you're a musician or something. It's just like, here's Randy Watson who feels so underappreciated mm-hmm. on how talented he is and how wonderful his band is. And it's just awesome. And of course, Arsenio playing the Reverend in the background. Reverend Brown is just fantastic. And he talks about all the girls that come in for mm-hmm. Black Awareness Month.
And they're all in bikinis.
yeah. And he's like, okay, girls. He's like, that's enough. You can go now.
Did this actually go on? Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And the whole movie, you're kind of, you know, you want him to find his true love, and mm-hmm. and especially where Lisa is so nice and such like a sweet person, you want them to be together. And then you have, you know, the heir of Soul Glow, mm-hmm. which is her boyfriend. And, you know, even the scene when they're at McDowell's and the whole entire Soul Glow family, the
right.
grandmother, the mother, the dad, they get up from the couch and they all have the shine.
Yes.
And then the grease on the...
I don't know if you saw the minimalist like poster that I did for that, and it has the couch there. It's just fantastic.
So
and it's just got the stains of the couch mm-hmm. from the Soul Glow.
And the Mr. McDowell thinks he's made it. He has this franchise. And
right.
It's doing well. Meanwhile, you know how rich Eddie Murphy is, and he has the little choo-choo train that goes around the bar.
Right,
he's
right.
Like, just keep the drinks filled, and it kind of flips this role, but he's happy to do everything. He doesn't think that he's above anything, and I think it shows true to his character.
I think the girl that he woos in there, that he likes, I think her name is Lisa, and that's basically McDowell's daughter.
Yes.
So when she finds out that he's actually a prince, you see McDowell just cater on him hand and foot, you know, just like, oh my God, this guy actually is in charge of a country.
He's on $100 bill.
I found something out on the internet. This is a while ago, actually. It wasn't in research this time around, but I actually found a coin from the movie, mm-hmm. and it says from the Bank of Zamunda, and it has Eddie Murphy on there, and they were auctioning it off for like a few a few hundred bucks. I'm like, that's almost worth buying. I'm like, that's
Which
pretty cool.
It's so funny that I never realized it, I'm sure, when I was younger, but now as an adult and seeing the editing, the picture that they show of Zamunda mm-hmm. is so fake.
Right.
Like, it's a complete, back screen with just an elephant walking through. And I get you how to create this, kingdom. But it's, even the clip that you played, him talking about football and the Packers of Green Bay, when they're at the basketball game, the college basketball game, and he goes into the bathroom and the picture guy is, you know, like the fan photo that you get at Fenway Park. This uh-huh. man, he sees him and he's like, oh my God. He's like, I'm from Zamunda, and gets on his knees, starts bowing. Everybody's looking around.
Right.
Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah.
Great.
It is a really fun movie. This is an interesting thing I found. Cuba Gooding Jr. was deleted from the barber scene, much to his dismay. Of course, Cuba Gooding Jr. went on to win an Academy Award for Jerry Maguire about 10 years later, but he basically played a young kid who didn't have the money to pay for a haircut, so Clarence the barber basically takes a patch out of his head and he hands it to him, and Cuba Gooding Jr. holds the patch and leaves the barber shop. So they filmed it, but he got on the cutting room floor, unfortunately. This was also Coming to America reunited Eddie Murphy with John Landis. They had worked together for Trading Places, and John Landis later recalled the difference in working with Murphy on the two movies. And Landis has been outspoken over the years. He said the guy on Trading Places was young and full of energy and curious and funny and fresh and great, but the guy on Coming to America was the pig of the world, but I still think he's wonderful in the movie. So there was this backstory of just Eddie Murphy asking for so much, mm-hmm. just like... He had something like his brother, Charlie Murphy, as a stand-in, was getting like $1,000 a week for just standing in a doorway mm-hmm. waiting for Eddie Murphy. And he wrote in all kinds of insane things, like, you know, what he wanted for food and everything like that around. But
and now Samuel L. Jackson had a cameo in this, too.
Yeah, he robs McDowell's. Yeah, he comes in with a shotgun and robs McDowell's.
And, Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy take him down.
Mm-hmm.
And
with the sticks, as a matter of fact, right?
Yes, with the
brooms.
With the broom. Unhinge the broom as he wasn't looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson come in with the shotgun.
One thing about this movie, one last thing to mention here, is for award season, it was nominated for two Oscars. It actually was nominated for Best Costume Design by Deborah Landis, who is John Landis' wife, and Best Makeup by Rick Baker, but it did not win either award. But it was nominated for two Oscars, and it did make quite a bit of movie, quite a bit of cash. It was $39 million to make. And $289 million at the box office. But over the years, with all of those out-of-court settlements and stuff, it was considered an actual box office loss because of that, but still considered a great, great movie by people and a cult movie.
Which I'm surprised it cost that much to make.
Yeah, most but of it was probably Eddie Murphy's salary.
I was just going to say it's salary.
You know, at that point, he was pretty much one of the highest, if not the highest, at the box office, based on Beverly Hills Cop and the success of that. But yeah, just fantastic. Let's move on to number three here. This is My Cousin Vinny from 1992. It is a comedy, rated R, 2 hours long. Here's a clip from My Cousin Vinny.
Well, he was a New York attorney about to take a southern journey into places that he'd never been. She was a brunette out of Brooklyn, fast talking and good looking, with a body that was made for sin. And she wanted him for marriage, cause the torch that she carried was hotter than the fires of hell. But he said he didn't need her, still she followed him down deep into the buckle of a Bible belt. She begged and she pleaded, and she told him all she needed was a little tender love and care. But he was wrapped up in his work and acting like a jerk by pretending that she wasn't there. But her heart was love-stricken, so she never thought of quitting or giving up on how she felt. She had plans to seduce him, if she could, she would loosen a notch in the Bible belt. There's a lot of good people who are led astray that believe true love is dead. But I'll tell you something, brother, when you're dealing with your feelings, it's tough to keep a level head. And it's hard to imagine how the flames of passion will burn to your soul and melt. And it'll spread like a cancer till you're gonna have to answer to your heart in the Bible belt. Or a star, there's a need for love in every man. And he found it pretty soon underneath the southern moon, when she finally made him understand that every man's got his pride, and he'll try to run and hide from emotions that his heart has felt. So he gave her love a chance. That's when he found romance in the heart of the Bible Belt. Together, or they're gonna slap a leather where their hearts in the Bible Belt. Yeah, Lord. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Amen, brother.
A funny thing happened to William and Stanley on their way to college.
At what point did you shoot the clerk?
They got framed for murder.
Whoa! Wait a minute!
Now, two kids from New York are in deep trouble.
It's time to make your phone calls.
The clans here, they're in bed. They sleep with their sisters.
In the deep south.
Some of them do.
And only one man can save them.
We need to call an attorney, a great attorney.
He's not your typical hero.
We got an attorney in the family.
Great, who?
He's
My Cousin Vinny.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
You graduated from law school 6 years ago. What have you been doing since?
Studying for the bar. That's a lot of studying. What's this over here?
You never heard of grits?
Sure. I just actually never seen a grit before.
It's his first case.
Now, didn't I tell you dress appropriately?
You were serious about that?
The way you handle that judge. Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
It's their last chance.
The two utes.
Did you say utes?
Yeah, two utes.
What is a ute? But with Vinny's style.
I wore this ridiculous thing for you.
And Vinny's girlfriend.
We agreed to get married as soon as you won your first case. My biological clock is ticking like this. And the way this case is going, I ain't never getting married.
They're dead meat.
May I have permission to treat Ms. Vito as a hostile witness?
Do you think I'm hostile? Now wait till you see me tonight.
Joe Pesci is my cousin Vinny.
You two know each other?
Yeah, she's my fiancé.
Well, that certainly explains the hostility.
I get the urge to visit my hometown. I'm sure that all my cousins will try to track me down. My heart says go, my head says no, it's best to stay away. But if I appear, I'm sure to hear all those jerk-offs say,
hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, since we are family.
Fredo was my cousin, he couldn't make his bail. I was talking to his father, he said let him rot in jail. But I pitied his poor mother, she said I was a prince. I paid his bail, he's out of jail, I ain't seen the fuck. Cousin Rose got married, she said they'd all be there. And they would love to see me as if I fucking care. They ate, they drank, they danced all night. My cousins had their fill. And when it all was over, you could guess who paid the bill.
Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny.
WMFO Medford.
WMFO Medford, Massachusetts. You're listening to Watch This here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's flick number three. It's my cousin Vinny from 1992. That last one was from Vincent Gambini Sings for You. It came out years later as Joe Pesci actually cut an album as the character Vinny. And very, very funny.
So hilarious. This, along with one of the other movies that is later on tonight, one of those movies that I can almost quote the entire movie. We'll go through all of them.
Yeah, it's rated R. It's 2 hours long. It's a comedy. Came out in 1992. Director was a person named Jonathan Lynn, who I believe did Ruth.